You've entered the Genius Zone, where we explore the secrets to unlocking your inner genius. Your host, Catherine Matiske, brings her years of knowledge and experience in developing the inner genius profile. Let's dive in and see what's in store for today. This podcast episode is taken from a previous live event.
Let's rock and roll, Catherine. You ready?
Yeah, I absolutely am. So where do we want to start?
There's so many good things I want to talk to you about because I went through that masterclass with you and man, it was an eye-opening experience for me. So I first want to say thank you and everybody on your team because knowing what somebody's strengths are, especially knowing how to access their state of flow, I think that's something that not a lot of people in this world can access, but most importantly, stay there. And by knowing the type of person I am, because I took this assessment that you put me through, and now going into that masterclass, it's like developing, it's like learning a new skill, but it's so much fun. You make it so interactive. How do you make learning so much fun?
Well, firstly, I'm passionate about it. And secondly, I've done it for my whole career. So my whole life's work has been around, you know, adult learning in a corporate setting, either working with learning and development departments with their learning design, designing programs for them, researching learning. The whole idea of learning and learning science is a really nerdy thing, but I absolutely love it. And the more I go through and think, okay, I've got it, then there's always something new to learn because brain science and learning science is rapidly evolving. Like in the last 10 years, it's completely opened up. And that's what I wanted to do was to harness all of that and put that into that inner genius profile that you did.
And really what stood out to me the most was you, Mel, were talking about IQ and then it went from IQ to EQ, which is an emotional intelligence. Yeah. And then you created GQ.
Yeah, the genius quotient. So, you know, everything as far as profiles go and the idea of IQ has been, you know, around for a long time. And EQ came out really in the 80s, but it really didn't take hold until, you know, around the 2000 mark. But it really came out in the 1980s. And there hasn't been anything for 50 years. And it's easy to say the 1980s wasn't that long ago. Well, that's 40 years ago, you know, and so much has happened. And that's why I wanted to do it, was to really harness that latest science that is, once you harness it, as you said, you know, you are tapping into a part of you that opens up and unlocks that potential and you can maximize your learning speed and learn faster. And, you know, the thing is, Jace, that right now we're living in such an accelerated time with the volume of information that we consume every day, you know, like feeds on Google and Blat and all of these channels and social media, it's just like off the charts. If you go back to when, say, EQ, emotional intelligence, came out, if you think back then in the 1980s, what was the information flow like then? Like nothing. And in the 1980s, we weren't even using email, really. You know, there was email around at the beginning of Microsoft Outlook, but there was really nothing. And so the human race right now is having to experience this massive influx of information. And we have to, as humans, I think, adapt the way we consume that information so that we're not getting overwhelmed and so that we can actually learn now at speed. Our brains can do it. And it's actually quite easy to do it. We're not talking about a lifetime of work here and a lifetime of school. We can actually do this really, really quickly.
If anything, you know, going through that whole process made me realize sometimes I wish I would have learned this when I was like 5. You know how it is, like in a classroom setting, you kind of have to fit the mold instead of them trying to fit their mold to you in a sense, right? And it's more like a cookie cutter versus what we went through. It was more of, wow, I really understand that these are my strengths and I should play to my strengths.
That's the thing, is if you look at the classic school system, you know, the school system that I grew up with, obviously different to the school system now, but still you're in a pretty narrow laneway. And you have to keep within the lines of school. Otherwise, you fail or you are deemed disruptive or whatever, whatever. So for someone like me that was full of what-if questions and wanting the tips and tricks and traps and wanting to change things and challenge things, the school system that I grew up in and me were not, let's say, unified. You know, I got through school, but I was not the top of my class because I couldn't have cared less about it, to be honest. I couldn't have cared less about math or biology. Like biology, I would do anything to get out of biology. I would say I needed to do an art project. I needed to volunteer for the choir, anything to get out of biology. And yet now, you know, my whole life is around science, which is completely, you know, hilarious given that I didn't want to go to those classes. But it just wasn't a fit for me. Whereas I had a brother who was really in the laneway of school, and his strength was all about that classic learning. So he did exceptionally well. And when I came along, people said, well, are you as smart as your brother? Well, it's like, I hope so. But I wasn't, because I was smart, but I was smart in a different way. And so it's all about, as you said, playing to your strengths. And one of the things when I created the profile, every profile out there, you know, like the classic profiles, Myers-Briggs, which was developed, you know, in the early 1900s, DISC in the 1960s, all of them say you need to change across the board. You need to change. You need to be somebody different to who you are. I think that's insane. Like, we all have this inner genius inside of us. Let's just unlock that and be who we are. And if we can tap into that, then we become the best versions of ourselves. And then we can work with other people who are different to us. That's different, but we don't need to change. I don't think we need to change. And that's one of the things that I've been really strong on, is that I don't expect people to change, because I know how hard change is. I've spent a lifetime in corporate training trying to get people to change their behavior. Do you know how hard that is? No one wants to change. No one wants to do a new process. They don't want to.
It's uncomfortable.
It's uncomfortable, and it's painful, and it's fearful, and it's full of fear. So it's like, okay, if I don't need to change, I just need to unlock who I am. That seems a whole lot nicer. And so that's why I did the profile that way. So that's what I think people have locked into. Oh, you're not asking me to change. No, I'm not asking you to change at all. Just be the best version of yourself that is available to you right now.
And that's the thing, though. I feel like to most, there's a level of comfort and discomfort. And I always say, you know, we're an interesting breed as humans, right? We either lean to the scale of pleasure, but we don't realize that the change comes to the point where you get so much pain. That's where you start to really make changes. And I think that's solely the reason a lot of us are probably programmed wrong from a very young age. And going through what I went through with your team, learning all this information just about myself, and then learning about those in the classroom, learning their strengths, learning how they can actually be able to power up their core strengths by learning what their strengths are. It was fascinating, because all of a sudden it was like turning a switch on. Everybody was understanding, like, if this is my strength, this is this. And even though there was someone there that they just, for whatever the case was, says, I may not agree with this, after talking about it, they realize, oh, wait a second, this makes a lot more sense when you start diving into it. It happened to me when I said, oh, I'm fighting the grain on this. And I remember Mel saying, well, that's your archetype, exactly what you're saying. And it was really funny when we started pointing that out.
Exactly. And so some people go, well, you know, that's not close to me. But when they then read their report, when you do your profile, you then open up an entire vault of materials. And one of those documents is your full inner genius report. And it's about 50 pages. And so when you start reading your report, you go, oh, I get this now. Yes. And so I think for so many people, Jace, that their inner genius is so locked up inside them. It's like they've got their own little vault inside them, and it's in there. And so what the profile does is sort of says, okay, let's unlock this and let's really bring out your absolute core inner genius and start using that. And for many people, that's foreign. And the reason it's foreign is because they've made a whole lot of series of choices, thousands of choices in their life, and they're on a lane in their life, and they're doing a job that they're doing, or they've got a family that they've got, and they've got a life and it's friends and all of the rest of it. And it's sort of just evolved. And that's how life works, right? Life just evolves year in, year out, and you end up where you end up. And yet some people, when you look back, and I love looking at people's LinkedIn profiles, and I'm a bit of a voyeur because I look at people's LinkedIn profiles, and I often look at people who, like, are really senior in organizations, but what did they do their bachelor's degree in? And they might have done it in filmmaking. And yet all of a sudden, they're a senior scientist in a pharmaceutical company. And I go, how did that happen? And what happened to the filmmaking? And then you ask them about that and they just glow. And it's like, what happened? You go, well, they said I couldn't get a job or whatever. So then I decided that the other thing I was good at was science. So I went in there and now I'm ending up, you know, a big kahuna in a pharmaceutical company. And I go, that's great. And yet the inside of them is that passion for filmmaking that they started but couldn't get a grip on. And then you start to realize, wow, how could they bring that idea back into their life, because that's where there's some inner genius there in some sort of related field around something that they may have dropped for 20 years, 30 years. How can they go back to that and unlock their entire self? And even though they might be a subject matter expert in their grown up world, what were they doing as little children that they loved? What were they doing as teenagers that they loved but now don't do? And if they could bring that into their adult world somehow, then what does that open up for them?
That's powerful. So how does one find out what they love, and then how do they use that as leverage to access their inner genius?
Well, the first thing I think is, well, obviously, you know, I would love everyone to do the profile. It takes 10 minutes and it's $99. So we're not talking about a massive investment of time or money.
It's literally what? 5 minutes.
Is it, did it take you 5 minutes?
Honestly, it was like 5 minutes.
Yeah. And the algorithm behind it is so complex. Like, it's ridiculously complex that if you do it and I do it and someone else does it, it's probably fairly rare that we would see the same questions, because it's such a complex algorithm to get you to the result in the shortest amount of time. And it's so personalized. So that's why it's so fast. Whereas, you know, some other profiles, you know, are just half an hour and 300 questions or something. You go, oh, for goodness sake, when am I going to get to the end? You know, losing the will to live, and you're on question 85 of 300. So it's really, really good. We're talking, you know, 5 to 10 minutes. And then $99, right? So once you do that, then you get your profile result, you start to read that, and then you say, okay, where is my genius zone? What is it that really, really lights me up? So the genius zone, everyone's got one. That's when you are operating at your highest level. Now, when you're in that zone, and everyone knows when they've been in a genius zone, is because time seems to disappear. You might be working on something and really into it, and you look at your watch and go, wow, where did those 2 hours go? And yet if you're working outside your genius zone, doing something that's a grind, those 2 hours, you know, seems really, really challenging and hard. But when you're in your genius zone, time flies. That's number one thing. When you're in that genius zone, you're super, super productive, and you're really open to all sorts of new ideas and possibilities. And that's the thing. And so we've all been there. So how do we spend more time in our genius zone? Because that's our highest level of productivity. Now, when you're there, when you're in that genius zone, because you are in your own unique version of you, and it's different for everybody, but when you are in your own unique version of you in that genius zone, what happens is you are operating at a higher level. That means you are learning quicker. So as new information comes to you, you take it in, that's your brain fuel, and then you process that information, which I call your processing power, and it's incredibly rapid. By contrast, when you're outside your genius zone, doing something that's a grind, doing something that you really dislike and it's not you, like it's the opposite to what you love, you will learn slower because it's so painful and so challenging, and you're already in that motivation state of, I really don't like this. So everything is slower, and it's like kind of walking through a deep water. It's really, really hard.
I know. I can relate to that so well. But please keep going. This is so good.
We know when we're in a genius zone and when we're out. So what the profile does is says, okay, this is your genius zone. This is where you operate the best. Go and do more of that. So then how do I do that? And so I've created a whole lot of tools, and we've created this vault of materials that's personalized for each of the 12 archetypes that says, okay, if you're a particular archetype, then use For example, this Spotify list, which you can play on your computer, play on your phone, play wherever you like, and that will help you to get into that genius zone. So music will help do that. Tools to help you to do that. Alexa skills will help you to do that. To stay in your genius zone, because that's where you are much more productive. You're learning faster. But here's the best part. You connect with people better. You have better relationships with people because you are in your genius zone. You're communicating way more effectively. So when you're sending emails or doing a presentation or writing things or whatever you're doing communication-wise, you are in your zone. So you're communicating a lot more effectively. And therefore, the end game here is that you become much more influential. So your genius zone, we all know where it is. And if people are listening to this and go, well, I don't know what my genius zone is. Well, then maybe you're someone that's locked it away inside of you and locked it up with the key. And maybe there's an armed guard standing outside of it inside of you going, you're not getting in here. Well, what I want to do is unlock that for everybody, to unlock people's full potential and to maximize that learning speed.
Wow. So honestly, like, what do you tell people or like, what advice do you give them if there's just looking to really just optimize themselves, their learning potential or their self-development? What would you tell them? What advice would you give them?
Well, I think it's really based on what I've seen. I've trained tens of thousands of people over my career, and I see people show up in all different forms. And I think if we look at who the successful people are that show up into my training courses, they could be anything. They could be sales, leadership, you know, learning and development courses like instructional design and things like that. It doesn't really matter. There are some core things that successful people do that I've noticed. And I wrote a piece on this for an article, and it's actually on the GQ Academy. And I'm wondering if Mel and Nick could put that into the comments section. It's the growth mindset piece, and it's in the blogs of our GQ Academy, which is where you'll find all of the articles that I've written. And this particular one is on growth mindset. And I noted that there was 8 things that people do where they really harness a growth mindset. Do you want me to go through those now just quickly, James?
I would love to.
Okay. So here's the 8 things. The first thing is that when people come in, I'm talking about high performance learners, you know, people who have very high motivation and they blitz learning. Now, it doesn't have to be formal learning. It could be informal learning. And informal learning is stuff like I Google how to do this, you know, I watch a YouTube video, right? That's informal learning. Formal learning is I'm going on a 5-day leadership retreat with a lot of, but they still show up. The number one thing of these high performance learners is that they have support. They find support around them. Now, that could be in a business setting. It could be their leader. It could be a peer. It could even be a direct report. It could be someone else in the organization, a mentor or somebody like that. But it could also be the support of their family. It could be the support of their friends. They have someone to talk to about their learning. That is the number one thing. So if they have high support and high motivation, I classify them straight off the bat as a high performance learner, because we know that if you've got that internal fuel, that's your motivation, and you have external support, you are in that learning zone. You're in that high performance learning. The second thing is these high performance learners show up and they're really decisive. So they don't faff around thinking about, oh, what if I did this? And what if I do that? They just make a decision. They make a decision. And even if it's the wrong decision, they just make a decision. So they don't waste time ruminating on, should I do this? I'll write down all my options and then I'll weigh them up with pros. They don't do that. They just make a decision and they are accountable for that decision and just move through it. The next thing, the third thing that they do, so they have support, they are really decisive. The third thing is they're consistent. They are consistent in the way they approach learning. So within their genius zone, they get into this little learning zone. So they set themselves up for success. So when they come in the old world, when I stood in front of a classroom, which was actually for me in 2011 was the last time I stood in front of a classroom, and I've been doing virtual ever since. So when the pandemic hit, people went, oh, how do you do this, Catherine? I was like, oh, I've been doing this for years. I get much better results out of virtual than I ever did with face-to-face in the classroom. So we just do all virtual now. And then the pandemic hit and we were all of a sudden seen as geniuses. Anyway, so the whole idea is they're consistent though with the way they show up. Some people come in, they've got all their materials in front of them. They've deactivated everything around them so there's no distractions and they set themselves up. If they're taking notes, then they use colored markers. They've got their colored markers. They're just consistent. Every time they show up, they're consistent. And that's number four is they show up. They show up ready to learn. If they're in a learning environment, you know, and I suppose today is a learning environment, they're not doing emails on the side. They're not doing other things. They're not checking their phone. They're not playing a game. They're not doing anything. They are in the zone. They're all in, all focused. So it's about that completely 100% in. Active listening is dialed up and they show up. The number five is they smash negativity. Now, here's what's amazing. And some people are a lot better at doing this than me. When they have a negative thought, like, oh, this is really hard, or I don't think I can do this, or how will I put this into practice, or my boss won't like this, anything that comes their way, it's almost like in their brain, they smash the negativity. They smash that negative thought. And they have that ability of sort of like physically in their brain crushing that. So they actually can crush that because they know that if that negativity takes hold, that will then undermine their learning potential. So they smash it. Really high performance people, they don't even enter in to the negative thought. Now, I'm not particularly good at that, to be honest. I kind of let those negative thoughts in and go, oh, well, what are the challenges? Wow, okay, I need to think about that. And it takes me a lot to get out of that. But these people who do it really, really well, for a nanosecond, they get the thought, smash it, move on. So they smash negativity. The other thing that they do is that they take risks. Like they're incredibly risky. They say, well, I don't know if this is going to work, but I'm going to give it a try. So they take on the learning and they say, right, I've never done this before. It's a bit scary. I've already smashed that negativity and turned that into optimism. I can do this. I'm going to take that risk. So they are absolute risk takers. Number seven is they have this positive energy around them. They, for me, as a training professional, as a learning professional, are a delight to train because they're all in. They're not negative. They're showing up. They're consistent. They're decisive. They're taking risks. They've surrounded themselves with support, which could include me. But they have this energy about them, like, let me at it. You know, I want this learning on board. Number eight is a bit weird. And I wrote a full piece on this, which is they go slow in the beginning to go fast at the end. And on the blogs, because I post to LinkedIn all of my articles. So one of the articles that I posted was a piece on going slow. And what happens is these high performance learners go really slow in the beginning. They put all of their pieces into place. They make sure that their strategy, especially for implementation, is sound, and they go really slow to get it right in the beginning. And then off they go because they know then that they've set themselves up for success rather than jumping in, going full pace at something and going, okay, that didn't work. I've got to back out. I've got then to do all that rework and I've got to then, you know, reverse out and then redo because these high performance learners don't redo work. They do it once and they do it well. And so those eight things, if you're writing them down, number one is support, number two, decisive. Number three is they're really consistent. Number four is they show up like all in. Number five is they smash negativity. Number six is they take risks like you would not believe. They're absolute risk takers, but they have that. Number seven, the positive energy. And number eight, the twist is they go slow in the beginning. So I've seen that over tens of thousands of people. They all share these traits, all of them. And there's something in that. And so none of these things are very hard. All of these things we can actually start doing today, tomorrow, as we go into the next meeting and then people are sharing new ideas with us. We can all have that growth mindset and say, okay, which of those eight do I need to work on? And then really harnessing on each of the one that you need to work on.
I hope everybody got that. That was powerful. If I would unlock this just earlier in my life, I feel like I would be more ahead than I am right now. That's what it feels like. And I'm sure, does this feel like with everybody else? I feel honestly stupid. I'm blunt about it. I don't know how many people could be blunt as me when it comes to this.
Well, when you've unlocked it now, you've got, you know, hopefully a very long road of life ahead of you. And the fact that you've unlocked it, that's fantastic. And then now you can really optimize that and really get that acceleration and that productivity based on what you've now unlocked. And hopefully that will last the rest of your life. And that you now know your lane and that there's nothing wrong with you, okay? You've got this inner genius. It is you. You've got your archetype. And also you mentioned the power up as well. And that everyone is their own unique you. So it is the ultimate diversity tool because forget color and race and gender and all of that. Forget all of that. You know, I know that's all topical at the moment, but this is getting right underneath that waterline of the iceberg and going, wow, I'm actually really unique and I can really use that in my own productivity and my own power up to really get me in my zone, in my genius zone.
With everything that you've learned over the years, Catherine, has there kind of been more of a strategic way you found that's most effective for like professionals who are simply trying to achieve more in like less time?
Yeah. And I think we're all in that boat, aren't we? You know, I know that when I sit at my desk, my inbox is a snowstorm of emails. I then, you know, check back because I run a global organization. So I've got people working in different areas of the world. So my Slack chat is out of control every morning when I wake up. And then I've got, you know, information coming to me left, right, and center. And I think the main thing to do, I think, is try and operate in your genius zone. And whatever that is for you, just try and spend more time there. And every time I feel like I'm moving out of my genius zone, I try and pull myself back. Now, how do I do that? I have my own little ways of doing it, and everyone's got their own way. It might be for you, get up, have a walk, get a drink of water, whatever, come back to your desk. For me, I tidy up my desk. I do a little Marie Kondo on my desk and I tidy everything up and I make it all beautiful. And I close down everything that's open on my computer. I close down all the rubbish that I've opened and I kind of start from scratch. And before I start again, this is only my way of optimizing my productivity and everyone's got their own way, but find a way is really my message here. And then what I do is I put on my Spotify playlist. And so I'm the futurist as my archetype. I've got my futurist playlist because every archetype has their own. I get my Spotify playlist on, I crank it up really loud, and then I go, okay, what are the main things that I can work on now that will have the biggest impact? And I ask myself this question, what is the best use of my time right now? What is the best use of my time right now? Now, that time might be an hour, it might be 2 hours, it might be a whole day, or it might be, as I just experienced a few hours ago, I logged onto a Zoom call with a client and I was 4 minutes early. Okay. So what is the best use of my time right now? Goes through my head. I say it 100 times a day. And in that 4 minutes, the best use of my time was to answer one email to our accountant who wanted one piece of information. And I knew that that would take me 4 minutes, and it did. It took me about 3 minutes and I had a minute spare, but the best use of my time was that 4 minute email. That was super early this morning, my time. That means that when he starts, he then has that to work in his genius zone on the next piece of what he's working on. So all day, every day, I do that. What's the best use of my time right now? But that for me, the Marie Kondo desk clean and the Spotify playlist gets me back into the zone. And then I'm off. I live on to-do lists and so on, but I prioritize them. And then anything that I can delegate to my team that is not my genius zone, even if I've done half the job and the last little bit of the 10% last little piece of the job is something that is not in my genius zone, I try and delegate it to a team member because I know it's theirs. And so why should I spend another hour doing that when they're going to spend 40 minutes and probably do it better, more accurately because it's in their genius zone and then they're part of the project, they're part of the team. Yeah, so that's that.
1,000%. It's like a tactic that you know will work every single time.
And I do it not just once a week. I do it multiple times a day, sometimes multiple times an hour. What is the best use of my time right now? And the key words in that sentence for me is right now. Like right now, I have 4 minutes. Right now, I have 30 minutes. Right now, I have 15 minutes. Right now, I have 1 minute. What is the best use of my time? And sometimes the answer for me is watch a Netflix movie because you're super stressed out. You need to decompress. So just watch a mindless rom-com on Netflix and that is the best use of your time right now. I don't generally do that during the day, but, you know, on a weekend or whatever, I just think, what is the best use? Shall I clean the house? No. Right now, the best use of my time is to watch that. And I'm cool with that. Totally cool with that. What I see people do as a result of this blows my mind.
No, absolutely. And that's the thing, right? Once you know what your inner genius is, again, I got to thank you so much for taking your time to building it out because knowing those little things, I do think it's life-changing to where you now know you understand yourself better than what you did yesterday and you can act on those certain protocols that you were thought you were guessing and now you know those are accurate, right? It's no more of a tuition, but it's accurately the correct way that it works. And to me, it was very easy now to activate my power up, right? Now knowing what my strengths are. And I like just to be in that space. So,
right. Yeah.
Thank you so much for everybody for tuning into this episode of Accelerate Your Learning and From Experts with Catherine. Take care, everybody.
Thank you. Thanks, Jace.
Thanks for listening to The Genius Zone. If you like what you heard today, leave us a comment or review. Make sure to subscribe to our channel and don't forget to follow Catherine on social media. Be sure to join us again soon in The Genius Zone.